join Cat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All righty. Here we are. Welcome to Shooting Bench. It's the 15th of December, and boy, have we got some news for you tonight. It's been a great weekend. Had a lot of fun. Met a lot of people. Got a lot of stuff to share with you tonight. So we'll get to that here in just a second. Wait up just a second. We've got all kinds of stuff coming in here with Facebook and text and all kinds of stuff. So the big news tonight, of course, what happened in Olympia, Washington on the 13th. Let me go and check. Now, for those of you that are listening, I know that our chat room is down. A lot of people trying to get in it, can't figure it out. Let me, there is an alternative chat that you can use. It looks like Roger found it. Roger made it in. So, let me, Roger that. I put it on Facebook for those of you that are listening that are on Facebook looking for the chat tonight. So, a lot of stuff, just an amazing amount of press on this rally we had on Saturday, except for mainstream press. There was a gal from ABC there. Whether or not they're going to allow that story to run or when, I don't have any idea. There were lots of local news people there. Let me start from the beginning. We pulled up there about 3 hours probably before the rally was to start. We had no idea what to expect. I've never been to Olympia, Washington. Didn't have any idea how many people were going to show up, where to park, where to do anything. So we got there early. And one of the exits, not the exits, but the street going into right up to the Capitol building, and they told us these were going to be closed. And sure enough, we got there and it's barricaded up. and a guy just moved the barricade for me, told me to come on in, so we went right in there and parked. And shortly after that, a guy that worked for the state in his little orange vest comes along and says, y'all can't do that. And so we're talking back and forth. And pretty now some of you that are listening may think that and have been told that the Washington State Police put those barricades up there. They did not. It was put up there. All these barricades were put up by the, whatever you call them, the groundskeepers, the people that run the place there around the Capitol building. And so the state police got involved and come down there and talked to them. We went down there and talked to them. So there's four, five, six of us, two state cops, and two of the state people. And so the state guy says, well, you can't do this. You know, it's a safety hazard. And well, let me put this as nicely as I can to be on radio. That's a bunch of crap because these streets were open. We found out for other rallies and gun shows and everything. Hey, B.B. Burner made it in there. Phoenix Percenter, outstanding. So there, these streets have been opened for everybody else, but they were not inclined to let us in there because, why? Because we didn't get a permit. We didn't comply. That was the whole theme of what we were doing, was thou shalt not comply. We shalt not comply. So they were trying to make it as hard on us as they could. However, Washington State Police, WSP, very much on our side. Very much on our side. We had no problems with them. As a matter of fact, I'll just cut right to the chase on the law enforcement thing. We had probably the most positive and pleasant law enforcement experience that I have ever had in my life. Of all the places that I've been, all the things that I've done, all the rallies that I've been to, all the political things, all the fairs, you name it. I don't think I've ever had a better experience with law enforcement as I did with Washington State Patrol on Saturday. So, anyway, we're going up there and we're going arguing back and forth a little bit about whether or not we can park in there. And finally, Gavin says, look, this is not a negotiation. We just come down here to tell you that, you know, this is what we're going to do. We've already moved the barricades. There's already cars coming in. We didn't ask if it was okay. We were offering you a courtesy of telling you that, this is what we're going to do. So the state police at that point said, okay, wait just a minute. They take the state guy off and they walk off down the way, you know, little ways down towards the street. And we see him talking pretty soon. The WSP guy reached over and puts his hand on the guy's shoulder and leans over and says something to him. I don't know what. And so they come back up and talk to us. And they said, okay, here's the deal. We'll let you do it. And Gavin just about said, no, you're not going to let us do it. We're doing it anyway. We're already doing it. But they said, but we held back. And, he said, okay, here's a couple of stipulations. He said, you can do it, but you need to stay in the parking spots on the side. The street goes down through there and there's parking places parallel, on both sides. And then an open lane down the middle, of course. And they said, okay, you have to stay in these parking areas. I never thought for a minute that we weren't supposed to anyway. I mean, that was just kind of a given. So I think that was a token thing. Yeah, we'll let you do this if you do that. I wanted to say, well, we were already going to do that. So what else you got for us? And the other thing is you need to put one of your people down here at the entrance so we know who is authorized and supposed to come in here and who is not. And so, okay, fair enough. We'll, that'd be fine. So we had somebody down there the whole time, and, all day long, you know, letting people in and out and everything. So that was the end of that. Now, let me tell you about how this thing kicked off. We were there early, and it was a little chilly. It wasn't bad. It was real wet. It was real, real foggy, heavy fog. And I'm going to tell you what, after I looked out across there, it wouldn't have taken too much for me to just break down in tears, because I looked across that thing and I said, how much is this like Valley Forge right now? We see Patriots coming in out of the fog from all directions, carrying Gadsden flags and American flags and POW flags and you name it. They're coming in out of the fog from every direction. Steady stream coming in from everywhere. Not a heavy stream at that early, but they were coming in from everywhere. And I said, good Lord. This makes me think, sorry to say reminds me, it doesn't remind me of Valley Forge, I wasn't there. But it sure enough just instantly made me think about Valley Forge. And so we had, I got pictures, I haven't got them downloaded yet so that you can see them, but I'll get them on probably, I don't know if there'll be a show tomorrow or not, definitely be one Wednesday. You'll just have to stand by and see tomorrow. But 2 hours, yeah, 2 hours before the rally even started, we probably had, what do you think, Jason, 100 people or so there, 100, 150?
Probably at least
that, 2 hours before it ever started. And these people had to walk pretty good ways. They made us park quite a ways out there. And by the time it started, I'll take a break here in a little bit, and I'll see if I can download some of these pictures real quick and get a couple of them on here for you. There was, altogether, we had four people count, two youth, kids from some family that we knew there, and two adults, and they come up with somewhere between 18 and 2,500. The official number that the Washington State Police used and put in several in reports and have consequently got it out in some of the stories that we've seen was 2,500 people. The weather was not great. Thank you, Mother Earth. We appreciate that. The weather was not great, but I'm going to tell you, out of the 6,000 people that committed, this is in the middle of December in Washington State. And when you have 2,500 of a proposed 6,000, 6,200. I think that is an absolute awesome turnout for as bad as the weather was. It was real wet, foggy, chilly, and not the greatest, most pleasant weather. If this would have happened in June, I think we would have absolutely overwhelmed that entire part of the city. It was pretty impressive anyway to have 2,500 people show up there. Not a single incident. I was in charge of VIP security. Had another guy in charge of just, you know, general security around there. We had run a pretty tight ship. Didn't allow any stuff to go on. There were a few Aryan guys there to start with. They managed to get them moved out of there pretty quickly. And zero incidents of any description. No trash on the lawn. no, of course, the lawn got trampled all to hell. It was wet, and there's 2,500 people wandering around there for 6 hours, and 5 hours, I guess. And so the lawn kind of caught hell. But it'll grow back. It'll, you know, by springtime, nobody's ever going to know the difference. But we started out very first thing that happened, you know, a quick introduction, and they turned it over to me, and we did a safety briefing, which Mike Vanderbo was there, Sheriff Mack was there, both gave excellent talks, awesome talks. Get on there, they're all over YouTube, they're not hard to find. And a matter of fact, I'm gonna play mine here in a little bit after we get the basic report done here. And what was I gonna say? I forgot. Oh, I was talking about the incidents and things that went on there. A few pretty big names. We had Representative Elizabeth Scott, another awesome lady patriot there, gave a great talk. It's available on YouTube. And a few others there are a couple of them not so great. Gavin gave a very moving, very good talk. And so all the time that this was going on, we had all of our security guys wandering around through the crowd and watching out people. We had had them on, had a detail on Gavin's family who came out there to see all the goings on. So, but all in all, now these Washington State Patrol guys come right out and told us. They said this was the most organized, the most well put together, well behaved, well-disciplined bunch of people that they've ever worked with right there. And that was after the fact of knowing that we applied for no permit. We just went in there exercising our, you know, people like say, well, the Second Amendment's my carry permit. Well, the First Amendment is our park permit, our rally permit, and it worked fine. Now I'll tell you what has to happen here, and all of you people need to understand this. And we've proven this time and again. We proved it in a big way. You think history wasn't made this weekend? You're crazier than hell. History was made this weekend. But what people need to understand is you have to know your rights, you have to stand up for your rights, and you have to not give in. When they say you have to do this, you need to say, no, thank you, but I don't. I don't mean to be rude, I am not trying to overstep your authority, but I'm telling you, I know what my rights are. This is how we're going to do it. And it works. It, and I told people, you'll hear this in my talk here in a few minutes. I told people that this was the largest gathering of private citizens, individuals, armed on this continent since 1775. Now we're not talking about military, military facilities. We're not talking about commercial ventures, gun shows, stuff. Although I don't know of a hell of a lot of gun shows that have 2,500 armed people at them at one time. There may be a few, but there's not many. But as far as just a gathering of individuals, I can pretty much promise you that there has not been a larger gathering of armed individuals since 1775. And so what exactly are they going to do? The 6,000 that we'd hoped for didn't show up, but 2,500 armed individuals on a mission is a force to be considered. Something to think about. Were there felonies committed? Son, let me tell you about the felonies committed there. There were probably 5,000 felonies committed on Saturday, December 13th, 2014. There were guns passed back and forth. There were guns sold. There were guns traded. You know what? There was an I-594 violation station set up there. Buddy, a violation station. Guns laying on the table. Here, take this gun. Belongs to me. I want you to pick it up, hand it to that individual over there because he'd like to see it. And then when you get done, lay it back over on the table. Just put it in my hands and I'll lay it down here for you. Yeah. And this was an organization kind of like the Pink Pistols or whatever. It was the Rainbow Bunch there. And excuse me. This wasn't about white, black, straight, homo, whatever. This was about guns. This was about freedom. It was about the Constitution. It was about Initiative 594. It was about our constitutional rights being trampled, and everybody involved was welcome. I promise you, there's Northwest Heavy. He was there. Good to see him. His aviator, spent a little time with him. We saw Forks from up there in Mother Earth's area, went out and had dinner with him. And every bit of 5,000 felonies committed, I'm sure, at least that, because some people did it, you know, multiple times. What did the state police do? They stood politely, courteously off about 50 yards away from everybody, stood around, talked, watched, see what was going on, and did absolutely nothing. Now, what does this mean exactly? Let me tell you what this means. I want you to think about this and let this soak in. You think about it a little bit. This means that Mayor Bloomberg and Bill Gates just wasted $10 million. It means that I-594 ain't crap. It means that we have taken their $10 million and reversed it on them and shoved it down their throat. It means that 5,000 felonies were committed and not a damn thing was done about it. History very much was made on this day, on the 13th. So it was the neatest thing, because being from in that part of Washington, I'd never been quite that far up in Washington before. I've been over to Spokane and over there, been to Vancouver a couple of times. But being that far up there, we met quite a few people that I don't remember. Remember when I went to northern Idaho here a couple of years ago? Met a hell of a bunch of people, but you know, you get there and you got so much going on, and you meet 400 people. How many of them do you remember? You know, there's not, sadly, and it's my own poor memory, but I just don't have that many people that really stick out in my mind. When you meet them and you talk to them for 5 minutes and then you don't see them again for 2 years, you know, it means nothing to me. So, Mother Earth, that's right. 12, 13, 14. That was it. So, I don't know how many people come up to me and said, "Hey, it's good to see you again." I said, "Hey, I'm sorry, but I don't remember you." Said, "Yeah, I was in Idaho with that when you taught those classes, in July, you know, a couple of years ago." And, one of those families, several of those people that I met was people that I, spent some time with this weekend at their home. And, I'll do that. I'll play my speech here in a minute, and I'll put some pictures up on the chat room for you guys. Let's see, where was I? Oh, okay. I met these people, pretty much the whole family, in Idaho, and again, you know, I spent a few minutes with them right there. I talked to them and. And most of them, after they told me, you know, where I'd seen them, you know, where, and, oh, okay, I remember, yeah, you're the one that come over and done this, that, and the other. And so I met this guy again at Bundy Ranch. Well, he is the one that had the idea to invite me up there to talk and do all this, and ultimately wound up in doing a handgun class. And we wound up spending quite a bit of time at their home. And, folks, I want you to know that I have, we've developed a very, very strong friendship and bond. Had a great time and a great family. And their kids, five kids, well behaved, courteous, respectful, not robots, you know, sat quietly on the couch with their hands folded in their lap. They're still kids, but it was just a great experience. We wound up staying there till, you know, after 10 o'clock last night, and I could have stayed there again tonight that long. We really had a good time. And yeah, there was a lot of people. Jason's on the chat there. A lot of people at the rally that were at Bundy Ranch. A lot of people at the rally that were at the Oath Keepers rally in Idaho. Quite a few of them were at all three events. And it was a tremendous gathering of patriots. I can't say enough about it. I just can't tell you how awesome this event was. So, anyway, we got all done, got our representative packed up and sent on her way, and so our security detail was pretty much over with. And Norpray, I know you're out there listening. I see you messed me on Facebook, buddy. Don't you worry about that one bit. You were a tremendous help in what you did, even if you weren't there. So yeah, Norpray, you don't think for a minute that you were not. Of course, everybody wanted to go, but it's just it happened at a time. You know, we threw this rally together in a month. If we would have 3, 4, 5, 6 months to organize this thing and get it ready and get it advertised. You got to remember, Bloomberg and that other asshole, Bill Gates, spent over $10 million. You know what they did? They took all of the advertising, local advertising, so that there was no place for Gavin to advertise. All of the radio stuff and everything was taken during to get this 594 passed, and that's how it passed, because there was no room for the NRA or anybody else to advertise. And when this rally started going, and there was a bunch of the opponents of liberty that got on there and hoarded a bunch of the advertising stuff, which didn't allow Gavin to get in there and do what he wanted to do. So with only a month or so to put this together and not being able to, you know, we started this out with no money. with whatever, you know, Gavin out of his pocket. So in that month's time is when we did all the fundraising and used the money as quickly, as much and as quickly as we could to get this thing organized. So I don't want to hear a damn word from anybody about, you know, well, that's not as many people as what you said, you know, 2,500 people. I would like to see, I challenge any of you to put together a rally in 30 days time and get 2,500 people to show up in the middle of December in northern Washington. Alright? Just go ahead. Let me know how it turns out for you, would you? It ain't gonna happen. This was organized in such a way that, it was a phenomenal thing, and I have to say, you know, it kind of irks me sometimes. I am very much a Christian. I am extremely religious and a strong believer. But sometimes I get people, you know, they say, well, you know, I did this and God did that and it was by God's hand. And well, you know, I believe that happens. Well, I believe it happened this time. I think God was on our side. And I think he directed the organizers of this rally to do the things that they did. And it was so evident that the courage and resolve that these people shown out there in the middle of December in northern Washington all day long, wet, cold, and stood there in the wet and cold for 5 hours. At longer than that for some of them. I mean, there's a lot of them showed up, you know, were showing up right when we did. So they were there. We got there about 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. And we left at, what time did we leave, Jason? About 3?
3 or 4.
Left around 3 o'clock or so. And there were still people there, you know, putting stuff up and everything. So some of those people were there, you know, 8 or 9 hours. I don't know what else I can say. I don't know how to put into words how exciting, how exhilarating that it was for to be a part of this. For those of you that assisted in getting us up there and, you know, through the emails and the phone calls and the text messages and the Facebook messages and all that, you know, it was, you know, with your support and, even if it was moral support, it was still something that helped us do it. You know, we get to a point where whether we can afford it or not, we get to a point where we say, you know, we're committed. We have no choice. We can't stop now. We can't turn around. It's like being in the militia. You know, how do you quit? How do you retire? What do you say? Who do you tell? Okay, I'm not gonna do this anymore. I'm tag. You're it. I don't want to play anymore. You don't. When you are as committed to this movement as Jason and I are, and as these people that I stayed with up there while this class was going on, I'm going to tell you what. This guy's wife and another lady that was up there that was one of the organizers of this thing, they, if you were to cut their arm off, you would have red, white, and blue blood all over the floor. And I kid you not, there are not any more patriotic people on this planet than what we saw up there this weekend. Mike Vanderbo, we spent quite a bit of time with him. He is a hardcore hardliner when it comes to being a patriot. These women that we hung out with over the weekend, you know, these are not the type of people that you that you compromise with. These are not the type of people that you that you are have the capability of backing down. It ain't gonna happen. You know, I felt insignificant in the presence of some of these people because they are so committed and devoted to what we were doing up there. Tireless, just pushed hard throughout all the long drives to get there to do this, the long hours, the damn red tape and the people that you had to deal with and everything, and these girls never showed a second of weakness or of backing down. Amazing individuals. I felt, you know, it was nice, real nice, to be able to be a part of the rally, but to be surrounded by this caliber of people was something that many of you will never have the opportunity. I hope you do, but many of you will never have the opportunity to be so surrounded by this caliber of people. Well, when this was over with, Jason and I jumped in the truck. We went and had dinner with Mike Vanderbo and his security guy, and went on out to Yakima, Washington, where we're at now, actually, and got ready for this class. And we had, this was a very, very typical. It was absolutely as typical a class as we've ever had. With one exception, and that was the fact that these people, especially the one gal was there, these are the people who bleed red, white, and blue blood. Not to say by any remote stretch of the imagination that there's not many of damn fine patriot out there, but these people are a cut above. The epitome, that's right, the epitome of patriotism, the epitome of a patriot. Well, anyway, we got up there for this class and we found out that these people were just like, you know, 99% of the rest of the people that we trained. And, the one guy that we stayed with out there, being very, exceedingly honest and humble in his own way. And when he got all done with this, he said, "You know what? I ain't as damn good as I thought I was." We just thought, and that's the problem. We've talked about this so many times on the show, that is trying to get people to understand what it is that they don't know. They don't know what they don't know. After that starts coming around to them, then the class gets to be so fun because they're like a bunch of college girls that's been protected all their life, and then they get turned loose out on the town, and they're learning all these new things. You know, you get a group of tigers and just barely feed them enough for them to get by for a few weeks, and then turn them loose in a pen full of gazelles. Then what these people are like. They were just eager, ate this stuff up. We stood out there. It was colder than hell. Two long full days from 8 o'clock in the morning till dark both days. And we had so much fun. We took them, and they progressed really well. They did things that we did a few things in the class that we don't normally do in that class because these people had the capacity to do it. We trusted them. We let them do things that we don't normally do until the next level of class. So, hell of a lot of fun. Great weekend. I've had a wonderful time. I'm not in a huge hurry to jump in the truck and head home. I'm really having a good time up here. I think Jason has had a good time. And I think my computer is going nuts, so hopefully everybody can still hear me. But the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look at my chat room if I get it to come back. I don't know what the hell happened to it here. I'm guessing that you can still hear me, but it's going to be a minute until everything. Jason, can you see all in the chat room? Does everybody still hear me there? Oh, yeah, Jason can still hear me. He's like 8 feet away, but he can still hear me, all right. Let me see. What in the world is going on with this computer? Oh, I know what's happening. I'll bet that it's overheating. Hopefully it's not, because I sure enough wanted to play my talk here. Let's see if we can get this to come back. It's going to be okay. It looks like I managed to get some air in here. Maybe it's going to come back for me. When I travel, I have one of those little, I don't know what you call it. It's a little desktop type thing that you set your laptop in that has a built-in fan in it, so you can set it on your lap and stuff, and it'll still stay cool. When I travel, that's a little more than I want to take with me. So, let's see. All right. We just got a text message there. Said loud and clear. So, all right. Well, good deal. Well, I wanted to pull this out. You know what? Let's see here if I can. I don't know why my computer did that. I think it probably overheated. So give me just a second here, and let me see if I can. I'm going to see if I can pull my talk up here. If I can, I'll get it running. Then I'm going to try to get some pictures in here for you of some of the things that we did this weekend. This has been one of the funnest weekends that I've ever had in my life. I've just had an absolute ball. This was kind of like being at Bundy Ranch and backing the feds down. It was just a lot of fun. This was better than backing the feds down. This was shoving the whole damn stupid law. This is the stupidest piece of legislation that has ever passed in the history of legislation. There's been a lot of stupider ones come up, but they never actually made it anywhere. But this is the stupidest piece of legislation that ever made it through. Guarantee you. It's so ridiculous. And so is this computer. I'm trying to, okay, wait a minute. We may have contact here.
Okay, Amanda hears you.
Amanda, I think, if it's who I think it is a new friend that I have that was at the rally and became one of my Facebook friends that afternoon. And so, Amanda, if you are the Amanda I think you are, welcome to the shooting bench. I'm glad you can make it in. And it looks like this thing is going to come around here. It's just a little slow, so bear with me just a minute. And let me see if I can... Okay, here we go. Now, let's see if this works. I'm going to try to play my part of the speech here from the rally, and I'm going to try to put a few pictures on for you while this is playing, all right? Let's see if it works here.
But right now, I want to get another national patriot to come up and speak to us. The number again, sorry. Text Liberty to 66866. 66866. And it'll send you a confirmation, and we'll add you to that email list. But with that, I want to bring somebody else that came all the way from Arizona to be with us. We've never seen this before in Washington. The gun grabbers and the people who are unwilling to stand up to lawlessness are saying, what's going on? How are these guys doing this? How is this working? Why are people standing so boldly? And that is why. Because people are standing boldly, and we the people are tired of cowering to criminals. So with that, I would like to introduce Pope Reynolds, and he's got some fine words for you today.
Thank you, Kevin. Which one of that one?
Huh?
Either one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Cope Reynolds. I own Southwest Shooting Authority. Some of you might remember back right after the last election, the last presidential election, you may have seen a sign on the internet that I've had on my door of my shop. I had a gun shop in it. And I said, if you voted for Obama, you need to turn around and leave. You've already proven you're not responsible enough to own a firearm. And that, you know, and it wasn't, people said it was a publicity stunt. It was the last thing on my mind. I walked through my door that day. I walked about 4 feet into the shop, and I said, I do not want those people in here. I don't want their money. I don't want them around my kids. I don't want to talk to them. I want them to stop here, and I want them to turn around and go home.
Right. Yeah.
And
I don't want them in my house either.
That's right. And so I walked over to my computer. I made this sign, 11 by 17 sign, to put on the door. And I walked back in, walked about 4 feet into the office again, and I said, hell, anybody that comes here didn't vote for him anyway. This isn't going to do any good. It's going to be amusing to the people that come in, but it's not going to do anything. So I called my guy at the newspaper, and I took out an ad, said the same thing. When that ad come out, then I called, I emailed Ammoland, NRA.com, Gunwire, a whole bunch of them. In 36 hours, believe it or not, this stupid little sign was international. We had emails and phone calls from, you name it, Afghanistan, Australia, Kuwait, Canada, England. We saw it in Russian publications. We saw it in Spanish publications. And it became quite a hit. But that's not the point. The point is, at one time I was fairly diplomatic, and I tried to get people to come around to our way of thinking. And, you know, it usually wound up more in a agree-to-disagree type thing. And I got over that. I quit being diplomatic. I don't care what you think. I don't care if I hurt your feelings. I'm done with all that. It's not any longer just political correctness. It's not a political disagreement. We're at war. It's us against them. And before I go any farther with that, I want to thank Gavin and his crew for putting this whole thing on. I thank all of you for being here. We had emails and phone calls from... And I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about the single biggest passion in my life, and that is my God-given rights. Not just the Second Amendment, England, but all of them. Of course, the Second Amendment, the rest of them wouldn't be safe without that. And so I thought this morning when I first got here, I looked out across here, and it was foggy. You couldn't see 100 yards. And I saw Patriots coming in out of fog. And I couldn't help but think Valley Forge. Come around to our way of thinking. And another thing that made me think about this, you know, today, usually wound up more in a, I think there are more outside of possibly a few big gun shows. I don't care what you think. I don't care if outside of military installations, I've done with there is more guns in the hands of private individuals on this property today than there has been in the hands of private individuals in one place since 1775. There's not any place where we have
this whole thing on.
2,000 or whatever people we had here with weapons.
I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about the single biggest passion.
It's kind of like Sheriff Matt. I come from Arizona, a lot of things, and believe it or not, I live in Navajo County, Arizona, and I moved 7 miles outside the line. I may have to move back. But, you know, 1,500 mile drive up here. And I didn't have time to come here either. Right? We're having struggling business. We've got a lot of stuff going on. But this is not, if this was just a Washington thing, I'd let y'all handle it. Take care of it. It's your state. Deal with it. But this is an American thing. This is everybody. Oregon's trying to do it. Nevada's trying to do it. If this catches on, this will be a cancer that's going to be hard to stop. We have to stop it here today in Washington. And that's why I came 1,500 miles from Arizona up here to do this. The, you know, we talk about this arms expo thing. Believe it or not, I think we had, I don't know about in the whole United States, but in Arizona, we had the first arms expo, the first all-private gun show. No dealers allowed. It was strictly, and another people thought this was a publicity stunt again. It wasn't. I was a dealer. I couldn't go. I could go, but I couldn't sell guns under license. This was something that we did. It was all private transfers. Come and go, buy. If you want a receipt, fine. If you don't, that's okay. I don't care. Get whatever you want. As long as you maintain your, stay within federal guidelines, you do whatever you want. The entire Constitution is under attack right now. What can we do about that? Well, you need to do something. You need to get involved. Coming here is a good start, but you need to go on from here and do other things. People are afraid that, you know, I'm going to get put on a list. If you're not on a list, you're not doing your job. Yeah. Afraid of being put on a list, if you're afraid of being on this list, you should be ashamed of yourself for being here with these fine patriots today. Yeah. If anybody is any higher on that list than me, I'm not working hard enough to save my country. If you belong to the NRA, if you've ever gotten a hunting license, you subscribe to Guns and Ammo magazine, any number of other things, you're already on the list. Why, John Hancock and them, they were on the list. They were way up on top of the list. So all those in favor of losing your rights, please do nothing. I believe that the documents establishing the proper role of government in the United States was written by choice men that were put here specifically for that purpose. Have you ever heard anyone say, hey, they can't do that? That's against the Constitution. That's unconstitutional. The Constitution won't let you do that. You ever heard that? A high-ranking public official once said the Constitution is nothing but a piece of paper. You know what? He's right. It's like a restraining order. The Constitution is a restraining order. And without someone to enforce that, the Constitution means nothing. It's a piece of paper. It sits on a desk. It sits in a drawer. It hangs on the wall. It's absolutely nothing but something pretty to look at and reminisce about, unless you enforce that. That Constitution tells them, it doesn't tell them what they can do. It tells us what we're not to let them do. It's our job to enforce that. I believe that history does repeat itself, not by coincidence, but by the divine plan. I believe that certain events in past history happened solely for our benefit today. I also believe that we have not learned well from those events. So why the incessant attacks on the Second Amendment? Of course, it's been going on for a long time, but it seems to really be increasing here lately. There's a lot of reasons for this. One of them, I think, is the Agenda 21, global control of the people. And this successful implementation of Agenda 21 is crucial in this plan of achieving total control over us. But Agenda 21 will never reach maturity without absolute gun control. How are they going to accomplish that? Well, they've done a pretty good job at trying already. Look at Initiative 594. Look at the 1968 Gun Control Act, the 1934 National Firearms Act, the plethora of gun laws, over 20,000 gun laws across the nation that are restrictive to your rights and your gun rights. We've witnessed an overwhelming display of jackbooted thugism in Boston here not too long ago, where they effectively put the town under martial law because three people were killed and 200 violently killed and 250 people injured. You know, I mean to be insensitive about this, but there's three people violently killed every day in Los Angeles and Baltimore and Dallas and wherever. And we didn't shut those towns down and have people marched out of their homes with no due process, with no warrants, no anything. The they're this. Be aware of this. It's coming soon to a town near you, I'm afraid. Some people ask, why do we openly display our firearms at rallies like this? Why aren't we a little more subtle about it? It scares some people. Bothers them. If peaceful armed patriots scare you, you're part of the problem. Again, you should be ashamed to be standing here with these patriots today. Please be feel free to leave if you want. This is not a display of arms. It's a display of freedom. America got in the shape that it's in because of us, we the people, fat, dumb, and happy. We've sat here and let this happen. We have allowed politicians to run roughshod over it. Actually, we haven't allowed them to. We have encouraged them to by accepting their favors in the form of Social Security, health care, tax breaks, refunds, so on and so forth, and a plethora of other benefits that they they've offered us in exchange for our liberty. They dictate to us how, when, where, and if we are to exercise our constitutional rights, our fundamental God-given rights. So answer me this. Really, I want an answer to this. Do you guys enjoy being able to worship where, when, who, if you want to?
Yeah!
Okay. Do you think you should have the right to, or you should be comforted in the fact that you're supposed to be afforded due process if you happen to run afoul of the law in some way?
Yeah!
So should that not be the case, John? Do you think you should have the right to attend town hall meetings and rallies such as this without being persecuted? Okay? And ladies and gentlemen, I give to you the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. Knowing what I know today, I think the Second Amendment should have been the first to help protect the rest of them. But we are armed because the tyrant and the news media are more attentive when we have liberty's teeth hanging on our hip or around our over our shoulder. Our focus here today is to promote awareness to the fact that our beloved Constitution is being ignored and violated at every opportunity by some of the very people that swore an oath to protect it, keep that from happening, to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We have to get involved in the education of those that are not well-versed in the provisions set forth by the Constitution. We must make them aware of what is slipping through their fingers because their grip is not sufficient to keep them from losing the rights that they were born with. Will we fight to save them? Maybe, some of us. People will not fight for something they don't fully understand. Mark Twain said it best when he said, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce and brave man, hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, however, the timid will join him, because then it costs nothing to be a patriot. Ladies and gentlemen, this is no longer speculation. It's not a game. It's no longer the rantings of a radical right-winger. It's real. It's now. It's undeniable. And if it's not corrected very soon, it will be unstoppable. The ball is about to be dropped, and the lines will be drawn. Some people think Gavin has been a little radical about his opinions and actions here today. Let me tell you something. Gavin gets it. He understands. Remember Joe the plumber?
Yep.
Yeah. Joe the plumber gets it. He understands. After a mass shooting in Santa Barbara here not too long ago, which could have been easily called a mass stabbing, the exact same amount of people died from stab wounds as they did from gunshot wounds, but they chose to call it a shooting. Joe the plumber said, your dead kids do not trump my rights. Now that sounds a little harsh maybe, but it's absolutely a fact. I'm sorry about the dead kids, but it's a fact. A father of one of the victims doesn't get it. Richard Martinez, father of one of the victims this shooting, said, told Congress, don't call me and tell me that you're sorry about my son's death. I don't want to hear it from you. I don't want to hear from you that you're sorry for my son's death. I don't care that you're sorry about my son's death. You go back to Congress and you do something. You come back to me and tell me you've done something. Then I'd be interested in talking to you. He don't get it. By the way, while the mainstream media was busy turning a Hollywood psychopath into a celebrity, there was another 22-year-old Californian with a gun. This one used his gun to protect his three siblings from an attack of multiple intruders in Tulare County. Tulare County Sheriff Mike Boudreaux said, "I can tell you, this was a gun battle," and he praised this young man for doing what he did. He said he was in a fight for his life inside his own home. Did you hear about that on the news? Of course you didn't. Some of us just want to fight, think we can solve everything overnight. Some of us not willing to fight any further than signing petitions, going on city council meetings, except whatever happens with, oh well, we tried. Hell, steers try. We need do. We don't need try. There's others that will sign petitions, go to meetings, contact your legislators, participate in every political event that they can find, and everything available. And then, and only then, when every conceivable peaceful avenue has been exhausted, will we be willing to sacrifice anything, including our lives, our sacred honor, and be justified in doing so to regain what our founding fathers created for us. The founding fathers. How ashamed we should be to face them today. You know, I hate to say this, but we have become pathetic. We've allowed ourselves to be led around by the nose. You get permits for this, and there's policies that tell you you can, and you're taxed for that, and you got all this stuff going on, and we've just allowed it to happen over and over and over for years and years. Gratefully, I think some of the people right now are starting to wake up. We're starting to see good turnouts at some of these rallies. We're starting to get people more on the same sheet of music here, and I'm glad to see that. The Pennsylvania delegate for the Continental Congress, Tench Cox, said in 1788, "The militia of these free commonwealths, entitled and accustomed to their arms, when compared with any other possible army, must be tremendous and irresistible." Who are the militia? Are they not ourselves? Is it feared, then, that we shall turn our arms one man against another, against our own bosoms? Congress have no power to disarm the militia. Their swords and every other terrible implement of the soldier are the birthright of an American. What clause in the state or federal constitution hath given away that important right? The unlimited power of the sword is not in the hands of either the federal or state governments, but where I trust in God, it will ever remain in the hands of the people. On my radio show here a while back, I talked about a program that several cities implemented called Ceasefire. And one city has reported there are 12 known gangs with over 500 members. The city mentioned there has 42,000 people in it. These gang members get up every day knowing that what they do is wrong, knowing every day that they may be imprisoned or killed for what they do. Yet, these gangs continue to grow at unprecedented levels. If these groups of illegal gangs keep growing, knowing that what they're doing is wrong, why in the hell isn't the militia growing, knowing that what we're doing is right? To some of the youth that's here with us today, I want to publicly apologize to you and your generation and beg your forgiveness for the mess that we've helped to create, and hope that we can get this resolved before you two have to join this fight. I hope that you remember those that are engaged in this fight and those that have committed to make things right, whatever it takes. I want to leave you with one last thought here. I said earlier that I believe the history repeats itself. One of those several historical events that I believe happened for our benefit was the Battle of Thermopylae in 480 BC, when the Persian emissary told the vastly outnumbered King Leonidas to lay down your arms and surrender. In the immortal words of King Leonidas, when he and his small band of soldiers were told to give up his arms, "We will not comply. Come and get them." Thank you very much. By the way, if anybody's interested, tomorrow in Yakima, right outside of Yakima, we're going to be holding a defensive handgun class. if anybody is interested in getting involved in that, come find me after this is over with, and we'll see what we can do for you. Thank you very much for letting me get up here.
Thank you.
You have a weapon?
Yeah, a big one. How about you?
You sure you want to get cute with me? You have a backup weapon?
Never had the need.
Get one. Keep that in your suit unless I tell you to take it out. Get yourself a Glock. Lose that nickel-plated sissy pistol.
My name is John Q. Public, and I am a member in good standing of an organization called America, and I have a message for those agencies and agents that work under the auspices of the Department of Justice. You have called me many things in the past, rebel, right-wing extremist, domestic terrorist, to name a few, but that is not important. What I'm about to tell you is... There must be accountability in all things, sooner or later. When you sin, however big or small, you will be held accountable either in this life or the next. When you invade people's privacy, violate their rights, steal property, break up families, and hurt people, the time is fast approaching that you will be held accountable both in this life and the next. You and I took the same oath, administered by the same people. We both swore to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Some of you actually feel that you honor that oath, but you violate it each time you force a young girl to her bedroom floor in nothing but her underwear and hold her there at gunpoint. Or when you shoot or stomp a family pet to death, or shoot a young boy down in cold blood in the mountains of Idaho, or incinerate over 70 innocent people in a church in Texas. Warriors, indeed. How dare you call me a domestic terrorist? I go to work every day, sometimes at two jobs to make ends meet. I attend church every Sunday that I'm not working. As difficult as it is, I try to make time each day for my kids. I teach them about the Constitution and the Golden Rule. I have extra food and supplies to help myself and others through hard times. I try as hard as I can to obey the ever-increasing number of laws that are forced upon us, and I pay my fair share of taxes. I have a gun to protect myself and my family against those who would do us harm. I shouldn't have to use it to protect us against you. In fact, your organization is not even authorized by the Constitution and shouldn't be here, but since you are here, let's talk about your job description and performance. We have common enemies, you and I, that we should be united in fighting. The Founding Fathers never intended for us to fight each other. We should be as one. The current us-against-them attitude should never have been allowed to rear its ugly head. Division is unhealthy for the country. You will undoubtedly conduct more unconstitutional invasions of homes and businesses, and more innocent people will be injured or killed. A dairy in Pennsylvania, a rabbit grower in Kansas, a gun shop in New Mexico. It may even be me and my family. But let me make one thing abundantly clear. We, the people, have grown weary of living in fear. We're tired of being treated like animals. If you continue to follow the path that you are on, the time may come when you will not find us waiting to be descended upon when we least expect it. We may come to you. We outnumber you 1,000 to 1, and the same people that trained you trained many of us. We, the people, are becoming aware of those numbers. One day, you will launch one of your cowardly sneak attacks on an unsuspecting young family in Idaho, and instead of your brave sniper finding a defenseless, unarmed woman holding a baby in her arms, he may find that the tables have been turned. One day, instead of terrorizing and destroying another American family in retribution for a trivial infraction of an unconstitutional law, instead of shooting down defenseless children or young veterans that are trying only to live the American dream, you may find patriots waiting for you that have been pushed to their limit. One day, you will find that you have awakened a sleeping giant, and we, the people, will indeed hold you accountable for your evil deeds. Hundreds of men, women, and children have died at your hand because of poor information, no information, or just plain overzealous, out-of-control power freaks on an adrenaline high that have no regard for human life. Agents that think their badge is a license to kill with impunity. The difference between you and us is that we will not harm your family as long as they stay out of the fight. I don't want your family to go through what you have put many of ours through. Yes, they will be sad if you don't come home, but when the grieving is over, they will come to understand that you simply chose the wrong side. You see, this is nothing more than a conflict between good and evil. It's that simple, but this is not how it is supposed to be. This is not the America that the Founding Fathers entrusted us with. I implore each of you, before you go to work tomorrow, to take a long, hard look at yourself in the mirror and see if you truly like what you see. If you can look at yourself and be proud of what you've done, or what you may be called upon to do, or more importantly, if you feel that you can walk uprightly before God and look Him in the eye and feel justified in what you have done, then we have nothing further to discuss. But some of you are not really jackbooted thugs. Some of you are simply misguided and feel that you really are doing the right thing. To you, I say, please, follow your conscience, do what you know in your heart is right, for we the people will hold you accountable. All right, there you go. I felt impressed to play that after our little shindig this weekend. I don't know what else I can add to that. Jason, do you think of anything that we've missed that we need to share with them? I think we've covered everything pretty well. I don't know what. I wish I were more articulate and had a better vocabulary and be able to explain to this just how absolutely freaking awesome this, what a victory this was for liberty and the pro-gun movement and just America in general. It is, it does my heart so much good to know that we were a part of helping Mayor Bloomberg and that other idiot waste $10 million in advertising money, and it didn't do them one bit of good. And I think that is a wonderful thing. So, BB Burner, Amy is doing fine. She's back home. I talked to her. She had a long, long, worrisome day today. But other than that, she's doing just dandy. So, all right, guys, I don't know for sure. We're gonna have a long day of driving tomorrow. I've got to be back early Wednesday. So, we're gonna put in a pretty good day tomorrow. All I can tell you is that I'll do my ever-loving best to be on tomorrow night at the normal time. Casper, there is a rally going on January 15th. It's, you know what? I will add something else to this. You guys hang on a little bit before you sign off here. There are a number of quote-unquote pro-gun groups up there that did not support this rally. There are a number of quote-unquote pro-gun groups up there that thought this whole thing did more damage than good. They don't get it. They don't understand. The time for political correctness and getting permits and working within the system is done. We're through. If people don't want this thing to go to guns, then you better start pushing this the way it's supposed to be pushed. And we need to make these legislators and law enforcement people know that we will not comply. That we have come here to exercise our constitutional rights, our God-given fundamental rights, and we didn't come here to ask you if we could. And each of you needs to step back and think about that. There was a guy. What was that rally? The guy said he had to go golfing. What was it?
Same kind of rally in Spokane next week.
Okay, there's a rally similar to this one in Spokane, Washington, next weekend. And somebody had a Facebook page on it and inviting people to go. One guy says, I'd go, But I'm going to be golfing in Bullhead City next weekend. Shut up. Really? We have got to figure out where our priorities are at. I don't know that this rally on the 15th is going to be a hell of a big deal, but I know that on June 19th and 20th, or 20th and 21st, one or the other, whatever Saturday and Sunday is, that there will be what is called an Arms Expo. This Arms Expo is going to be the same type of thing that Southwest Shooting Authority conducted a couple of 3 years ago in Pine Top, Arizona. It's going to be a private gun show where people are free to sell, trade, buy, barter, whatever they want to do, their firearms. And we intend to make it up there to that Arms Expo. And the following weekend, after the Arms Expo, we're going to go up there and stay about 10 days or so. The weekend after the Arms Expo, we're going to do a 3-day personal defense handgun class. So you've got lots of time to put some money away, get some ammo gathered up, and be able to make both of these events. Class on the last weekend of June in Yakima, Washington, and the Arms Expo in Olympia. I expect to see some of you there. Okay, with that being said, we're going to get on out of here tonight. I appreciate the heck out of you being here. And I hope to see you tomorrow night. If we get out of here and get some miles behind us tomorrow, we'll try to get stopped in time to do the show tomorrow. And that's the best I can promise you right now. Amanda, thanks for joining us. All the rest of you, had quite a few people in here that managed to find our makeshift chat room since the other one is down. So thank you very much. The podcast will be up tonight. I'm going to go ahead and stay up and make sure that gets done before I go to bed tonight. So, good night. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network.